Thank you very much. Well, good morning. I loved our opening music, "We Are the One." You are the one. I am the one. That's really powerful stuff. And I'd like us to take that kind of attitude into our meditation experience to realize that we really can make a difference in the world. I've watched television. I kind of like it. There's a lot of neat stuff there. There's a lot of other stuff. The unity approach sometimes can be a little off-putting if, in fact, we watch the news and we kind of say, I don't want to be part of that. It's too negative for me. And what I suggest is that every day at 6 and 11, the world gives us a prayer request. And so today, I'd like us to come to this meditation experience with the knowledge that there are difficulties on our globe today. And we're here because we are points in time and space where God has made manifest to the world. And the work that we do in consciousness does make a difference. We are the one. So, with that, I'd like you to just take a moment and become still. Return within to the Spirit of God within us and give heartfelt thanks for peace, like a river is flowing freely and easily into our minds and hearts. Peace, like a river is flowing into our experience and through us into the world. That peace is powered by our love and understanding and our compassion for one another. Truly, we are one in spirit. And that spirit moves through each and every one of us to express itself in perfect ways and perfect peace down the stream of consciousness and into the sea of life. Peace, like a river, is flowing, ending pain and strife. Ceaseless waves of perfect thought break on the shore of mind. Ideas, like tide on a glass smooth beach, draw to themselves their kind. In the cycle of the living water, from fountainhead to creation blessed, then flows again to the Father's source to be again expressed. This peace moves through us in this moment, flows through us to bless the world. We are in the flow of life. Life flows through us in perfect ways to bring a perfect peace. So now, in a moment of perfect silence, allow this divine activity to take place in you and through you. so gently. Allow your attention to return to this time and to this place. And know that you make a difference in the world. Your love, your compassion bring peace first to our minds and hearts, and then to our world. And for this, we give heartfelt thanks. In the name of Christ. One of the challenges that I have is ending meditations. I just want to stay there. To be in that very sacred space is such a gift. But to be in that space with like-minded people for a real purpose in the world is the holy moment. And so, if I wasn't required to give a talk, we'd probably just spend the rest of the day in the silence. But the silence is important to what we do. It seems, and we can see this in a lot of ways, that healing remains the very real need in our modern world. The evidence for this can be found in the large medical complexes in every major city. Spend a little time in front of the television, and I already indicated that I kind of like TV. There's some fun stuff there. I love that mute button in the commercials. Come on. But I still see what's going on, and what I see, and you see this too, are commercials for a myriad of medications, supplements, and gadgets to heal a host of conditions. Now, let's kind of put a pin in that and put it aside for now. We'll come back to it because it's an important part of the healing journey. If you are a student of the Gospels, you will know that there are a host of miracles there. And if you ever got out your pen and kind of counted and highlighted the different things and began to categorize them, most people don't do that. You can be confident that I have. There are 23 healing miracles in the Gospels. And then there are 3 miracles that specifically deal with overcoming death. That may be the ultimate healing. And we're going to look at one of those today. There are 6 other miracles of what are called miracles of supply. Those are best understood as things like the feeding of the 5,000. There are 3 nature miracles. That's things like Jesus walking on water or stilling the storm, the overcoming of the natural world. But clearly, the majority of miracles involve healing. And the question becomes, has the modern world forgotten the healing power of spirit? Maybe so. Well, there are 4 methods that Jesus used in his teaching ministry. Those methods are fairly simple. One is the idea of a precept. That's a command or an order or instructions or a practical rule for guiding behavior, or a short statement of truth without embellishment or illustration. That's one way. The other way that is most known to folks is the idea of parables. We know these to be short stories or illustrations. The best way to kind of think of them is like a picture book. The stories create pictures in our minds and then communicate an idea. They are, in fact, very childlike in the way they communicate. And, of course, there are the miracles. And their purpose is to help explain the teaching on from a deeper level. The fourth is by actions. These are examples, and we see these in stories and experiences like Jesus' baptism and his temptation. So, what we want to do is understand that spiritual healing has a very real purpose, and is to bring into full expression the perfect Christ presence that exists in every individual. Now watch this. This is back to the pin for just a second. All healing is spiritual. It's the only kind there can be. That does not necessarily mean that there are not external things that can support our healing journey. But all healing is, at its essence, spiritual. So what are the requirements? If we're going to involve ourselves in a healing process, a self-healing process, or to pray for healing for others, what are the requirements? And I want you to use your imagination now. In my hand, I have an orb. That's very metaphysical, isn't it? Would you like one? Here, put your hand out. You got one, too. We all have this. You know? Can't see it, but it's there. And let's understand what orb represents. It represents an individual who is open. Open. An individual who is receptive. An individual with belief. O-R-B. You have that. When you open yourselves to this activity of spirit that is always within us, and we become receptive to it and begin to pour our faith, our belief into that, then things happen. Then things happen. Healing begins to take place. There is an affirmation that I would share with you. And I would hope that you would find this meaningful and use it in your own life. It says this: I am open and receptive to the full expression of the Christ presence. And yet the word healing never shows up. Because it's not about trying to create something, to make something happen. It's about trying to be something. Open and receptive to the full expression of this divinity that we claim for ourselves. Now, if you need to, put on a seatbelt. The ride might get a little bumpy here. Okay? One of the great Unity ministers, Dr. Sue Sticky, who studied with Charles and Myrtle Fillmore, who taught classes at Unity Village and taught Unity ministers. You may recognize the name if you watch a little television. Maybe you know Jim Sticky, the actor. Jim played Dookie Hauser's father. Okay? He did a couple of stints on MASH. He was the police SWAT team leader in a thing called Hill Street Blues. And he's the only one of Sue's children that can become a Unity minister. Grew up in California and was attracted to that world. Sue Picking said something. This is where the ride gets bumpy. She said, "There's nothing to heal. There's something to know." See, the problem that we have is we tend to know that we are not perfect. We are not complete. That we are broken in some way. And that is simply not the truth about us. The something to know is that in spite of all appearances, we are now whole, well, and free. We could stop there. We could stop there and just say, okay, all I got to do is from this day forward know that I am whole, well, and free. Because that's what I need to know instead of the other stuff that I've been knowing. The stuff about imperfection. The stuff about dis-ease. The stuff about brokenness. That's not who we are. We're made in the image and likeness of God, which is whole, well, and perfect. That's the divine presence that lives in us, seeking expression all the time. The secret is to let it out. To let it out. And as simple as it is, sometimes we need steps. What do I do first? How do I make this happen? And there are some very real steps. And I told you we would come back to a story, one of the stories about overcoming death in Jesus' ministry. And the particular story I want to share with you comes from the book of John. And it's the story that you may well know, the story of the raising of Lazarus. Now remember, Lazarus was a good friend. And here's the way the story reads. And we'll look at the pieces of the story, and in the story we'll find the steps that we need to take to, if you will, lift up the dead areas of our own lives. It says this. When Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, "Where have you laid him?" And they said, "Lord, come and see." Jesus began to weep. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him?" But some of them said, "Could he who had opened the eyes of the blind man kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus, again, greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was laying against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, sister of the dead man, said, "Lord, already there's a stench because he's been dead for 4 days." And Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone, and Jesus looked upward and said, "Father, I thank thee for having heard me. I knew you always heard me, but I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe you sent me." And when he had said this, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth, and his face wrapped in a cloth. And Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." Now, for some people, that may be difficult to grasp, and I'm not asking you to grasp it. But what I am asking you to do is, because miracles were designed to show a deeper understanding, a deeper teaching, we want to explore that. The text says Jesus was deeply moved. He cried. This was his friend who was dead. What does that tell us? It tells us that we need to embrace the space that we're in any given moment where there's difficulty, where there's challenge, where it's upsetting, where we too might cry out of some sense of loss. But you can't stay there. Jesus knew that, and he said, "Take away the stone." What is the stone? In the story, it is the one thing that blocks Lazarus from coming out. And so we might ask, what is it in us that blocks the expression of this living Christ within us that heals, restores, renews, and strengthens us? That's an individual process. And you might say, "Well, I have no idea what that is." And that would be a fair answer. It's an answer that I have given in my own life, in my own experience, but I did find a way to let that be revealed. And it's very simple. If there's anything that blocks my good in any way, it's because I have in some way failed to forgive someone or myself. And so the key to rolling away the stone, to getting into the space where the good can come out, is forgiveness. Another of the great Unity teachers, Catherine Ponder, you may know her as one of the, if you will, the prosperity gurus of the Unity movement. She was teaching a class in Austin, Texas. And every night, this was a public class, it was held in a hotel, and people were coming to learn these powerful prosperity techniques. and she indicated that healing, that forgiveness was part of the process. And by getting rid of those blocks, interesting things happen. It doesn't always mean that there's an inflow of cash into your life, but things change. The things that have been blocking you good tend to disappear. So she gave everybody assignment and said, all right, now I want you to go home, make a list, and start your forgiveness work. The next night, she came back, and one of her students came up to her and said, oh, Dr. Ponder, I am so grateful. Last night, I forgave absolutely everyone in my life everything. And Catherine said, well that's great, dear. But most of us need more than one night to accomplish this. And so if we're going to roll away the stone here and allow Lazarus, if you will, to come out, then we need to be about a continuous process of forgiving those things that show up in our lives that demand it. And so what does Jesus do next? You know the story says he lifted up his eyes. Now, the most common expression or understanding of why he did was because God's up there somewhere. Well, I don't believe that's the case at all. God is omnipresent. God is up there, but God is in here, and that's where we make the connection. What's the problem with making a connection? Instead of knowing the truth, we know something else. Now, just imagine how difficult it might be with all of the great spiritual growth and insight of Jesus, and he's looking into the tomb of his beloved friend. How do you know the truth when you do that? When you need to know life, you turn away from that which is not true. That's why he looked up. He looked away from the idea of death to the idea of life. And then he spoke. This is one of my favorites, absolute favorite. He says something. I'm sorry. The next step is he gave thanks. He said, Father, I thank thee for you because you heard me. Well, I knew you always did, but I'm saying it so the people standing around here will understand they need to do that too. To believe not only in me, but in Christ in themselves. So he gave thanks. Before he saw Lazarus come forth. We give thanks before we see the manifestation of that which what we want in our lives, and it comes forth. Because we recognize it. In polite society, when someone gives us a gift, or a compliment, we say thank you. How much more appropriate is it to give thanks when we realize the greatest gift of all has been given to us, the presence of God in us, to acknowledge that, not because we're looking up there to see something, because we're looking in here and we're finding it, and we're finding it. Then my favorite, I got ahead of myself. Jesus cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. Now, just imagine the scene. What do we have? We have two women, sisters of Lazarus. We have Jesus, a good friend of the family, and all these other people standing around saying, well, what was wrong? Why didn't he just prevent this guy from dying? And so, they're all standing around. So what does Jesus need to do? And what do we need to do? We need to speak the truth, command the good with a loud voice. Now, imagine that scene that I just set and Jesus saying, hey, Lazarus, are you in there? Come on out. Don't make me look bad here. Of course it didn't happen like that. What he did was he said, full of belief, it's already open to the presence and power of God. He realized it, and then he spoke it into expression with power and authority. Lazarus, come forth. And what happened? He did. Do you think it would have happened if he was not committed? If he was hesitant? Quietly hoping, requesting, maybe it'll happen? No, that doesn't, it doesn't work that way. You see, because that kind of speaking is complete without. It just might not happen. So if I really speak out here, you know, if it's not going to happen, I'm going to look foolish. And you can't look foolish. You can't look foolish. So we have the ability and the power to speak with authority. How much more authority do you need? If you have the divine within you, seeking expression in this moment, in this circumstance, whatever that happens to be, whatever area of your life you're trying to raise up, begin now to speak the truth with power and authority. And then finally, Jesus says, unbind him and let him go. In the traditional burial rites of the Jews of that day, the deceased was wrapped in cloth, and there was a grave cloth placed over the face. And so Lazarus comes out, he's bound head and foot with a grave cloth over his face, and Jesus says, unbind him and let him go. We need to remove the grave cloth in our own lives. The cloth over our face that prevents us from seeing the truth. And we need to unbind our own hands and our own feet so that we can be what we came here to be. There are two great days in a person's life. One, when they're born. And two, when they know what they're born to. Why they're here. And I say for all of us, we are here to be points in time and space where God is made manifest to the world. Where the truth can shine through us to bless us and to bless those around us. To be a healing influence in the world. So when we talk about healing, yes, we're talking about restoration of the body. There's no doubt about that. But there's much more that needs to be healed. And it all takes place first in consciousness, in mind and heart. We must remember that God, as substance, underlies all creation. All creation. Now we're going to go back to where we put that pin earlier. That means underlying the medications, the supplements, the gadgets that may very well be a part of an individual's healing process and journey. They're simply tools. Tools that we can use. And we should use them as Spirit guides us. I take medication every day. Not a surprise. Shouldn't be. One of the things that I do every day is I bless the medication to my body's use, to the strengthening, the upbuilding of this physical being who can do its work, whatever that happens to be at any given moment. In addition, all healing takes place first in consciousness. And then, according to spiritual law, it manifests in the visible world. That is the law of involution. What is involved in mind evolves in our experience. That's how healing takes place. And the secret, the thing to know, as Steve Dicking would say, there's nothing to heal, there's something to know. When we know our innate wholeness, there is nothing to heal. Because according to spiritual law, it springs into expression. Truly, nothing to heal, but something to know. And now, you know what it is that you need to know. That, my friends, I believe, is the truth about you and about me. God bless you. Love you, each one.